Hey, welcome to episode 126 of Motherhood in Hollywood. My guest today is venture capitalist and investor Jesse Draper, and you guys are going to love her story and the inspiration that is oozing out of this interview, if I do say so myself. All right, here we go.
Come on, Mama.
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hey, friends. We're just a few weeks away from Christmas. I hope you are running around getting all of your shopping done, your last minute gifts and things. I just wrapped a few presents today and put them under the tree because we put our tree up like over a week ago and there's been no presents under it and it just looked very sad. Very sad tree. So I put some stuff under there for Channing, and Chris and I have sort of been plotting out what we're going to buy her, and I realized this kid is going to get a ton of crap for Christmas, a ton of stuff. And since she, you know, just really, it's just been the past couple of Christmases that she's kind of realizing like, oh, I get presents and these are all mine and yay. And I really want to make sure, even though she's an only child, you know, I want to make sure that she's not being completely spoiled rotten. But then again, I'm like, oh, it's Christmas. Maybe she should be. It is the eternal struggle that I have with gifting. But then I think end up just spoiling her. Why not? I was spoiled because I was the only child growing up too. And I remember my mom, my grandma, all my relatives would give me all kinds of presents, and I was the only one that got them every year. So, you know, but I turned out awesome. So, hey, that's my excuse. Anyway, so I'm really pumped for this episode this week, you guys, because my guest is super inspirational, very inspirational. Her name is Jesse Draper, and she is a venture capitalist. She was recently named one of Variety's Hollywood's new leaders. I hope I'm saying that right. Marie Claire's 50 Most Connected Women in America and Refinery 29's 30 Under 30 Rising Stars. I mean, she has a ton of titles. She has a ton of experience. And basically, as she explains, she invests in companies, and they're mostly female-led businesses involved with the technology industry and entertainment. And it's really incredible what she's doing. And she's helping people who have visions of businesses and ideas, helping their dreams come true. And I am all about that. And she does it all while having a 2-year-old, and she's 7 months pregnant, and she's very honest and very real about how she manages it all. And so I cannot wait to share that interview with you guys. But also, she's got some wonderful advice about any moms out there who have an idea for a business or something they want to get started on. She's got some wonderful tips and advice for you guys to get started on that. So it's a good one. I'm excited. I want to take a minute really quick to make sure you guys know, please follow me on my social media channels over on Instagram and Facebook at Motherhood in Hollywood and on Twitter at Heather Brooker. Hey, I'm also on Pinterest. I've been pinning a lot lately, which is something I always used to make fun of, but I'm secretly addicted to it. I pin a lot of the recipes I've made lately. I'm not really great on crafts. I'm sort of, you know, I've got craft envy for all my craft mom friends and guy friends out there. But definitely follow me on Pinterest too at MIH Podcast. Okay. And make sure you take a minute to subscribe to my podcast. If you haven't already done that, please do that. Hit the subscription button and then leave a review. If you like the content I bring you every week, because you guys know I am working my tail off to get great interviews, and I do everything myself. I edit these shows. I return my emails, sometimes not very quickly, but I do return emails. And then I do it all myself. And so any comment you can leave on my podcast, whether you like the show or not, I mean, I'd rather you leave a comment if you liked it. But any review counts and any review is helpful. So thank you so much for doing that and leaving a review on the iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast. Okay, I'm going to wrap up the mommy monologue because Jesse has so much great information and such a great story to tell that I want to get right to it. So I hope you guys are having a wonderful week. Christmas is coming. Yay! All right, here's my interview with Jesse Draper. My guest today is Jessie Draper. She is the founder of Halogen Ventures and is a venture capitalist. And I don't even know where to begin. I am so excited to talk to you, Jessie.
Oh, well, I'm excited. This is going to be fun.
I have been doing a lot of research, aka stalking you, for the last week or so since we set this up. And, you know, I have to say, first of all, I would not know what a venture capitalist was if it weren't for the TV show Silicon Valley. Is that terrible?
That's so funny.
It's so embarrassing to admit, but I'm like, I don't even know what that is. So please tell me what you do and like how it all came about.
What do I do? Oh my gosh.
Well, for venture capitalists, because we're going to talk about mom stuff and acting and all of that other stuff too.
Yeah. You know, it kind of goes together. So I run a venture capital fund called Halogen Ventures, and we only invest in female-founded consumer technologies. And so that means basically that I raised a big pile of money, just to make it really clear. And then doesn't mean it's my money. It means I go invest that money into companies that I think will make me a really nice return. And I typically get in really early. Like sometimes our teams are two or three people. Some of my companies include Sugarfina, which was an e-commerce candy company when I invested initially and now is an international candy brand. They are doing a great partartnership with Starbucks right now.
I tried to get them to do an ad with me for Christmas and they were like, no, we'll send you candy. And I was like, oh man. So I love that. You have some great companies that you have.
I have some help with that. We invest in everything from, e-com to healthcare. I have a great breast pump company called Naya Health. It's a new breast pump created by this incredible founder named Janica Alvarez, who was like, breast pumps really suck, which I completely agree with.
Yeah.
And she created the first FDA-approved smart breast pump, so you can find that now. And then we have like a menstrual disc. I'm like, this is a ladies podcast. So I'm excited to talk about all of these lady companies that I actually am working with.
And what's great about what you do is that is your focus is female centric, women empowered business ideas and entrepreneurs.
Yes, so exactly.
Why did you decide to go into that area specifically?
So, you know, you mentioned acting, and I started out my career acting because although I grew up in Silicon Valley, in the Silicon Valley that you just referred to, I love that like the Bravo show is what got you into learning about venture capitalism. I mean, wherever, I think it's always good to learn about investing. So
I don't know how real it was or true to real life, because this show is really ridiculous. But I was like, everything in Silicon Valley to me seems very far removed from what I do. And it makes me feel like I don't know anything about finances or money. And like, I just, you know, it's definitely an area of business that I would love to learn more about for sure.
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't, first of all, don't discredit yourself. I'm sure you know a lot more about business and finance than you think. You know, you spend a significant time thinking about money, I assume, and buying things, whether it's coffee or, you know, something for your child.
Right.
But, you know, I got into it because initially I thought I grew up in this community of investors and entrepreneurs before it had been kind of like Hollywoodized in any way. And, in Silicon Valley. And so I grew up around incredible entrepreneurs like Elon Musk, who started Tesla and SpaceX, and quite a few, Eric Schmidt, the former CEO of Google. And I had this great opportunity because my dad was a venture capitalist to sort of have the curtains open for me when it came to investing. And he was always really helpful and would bring me around to conferences with him. And so it was just a world I knew very, very well, this world of technology. Mm-hmm. And basically, I thought because I was a woman and I didn't know any women in it, my mom worked very hard raising four children. The only woman in my life that I knew who was working in a traditional way that I was close with is my Aunt Polly, who was a very successful actress. And she she was on a show called 30 something in the 80s and 90s. And she's really incredible and just a huge mentor of mine. But so I thought, okay, well, that's what women do. They go into acting. And so I went into acting and I was on a Nickelodeon show and I did quite a few movies. And I quickly realized my love was really for technology. It was the world I knew the best. And I was always trying to figure out ways to incorporate that into my entertainment life. Mm-hmm. And so what I did was start a talk show called The Valley Girl Show, which was one of the very first tech talk shows. Now there's quite a few, but we would interview entrepreneurs in kind of a lighthearted, approachable way. And it did really well. I ran it for about 10 years. We were nominated for an Emmy. And I say it's on hiatus until someone fixes media, because there's a lot of problems with the media industry just in general as far as a business model. And so now I'm looking for great media technologies. But
I would love to know more about what you mean about that. Like, what do you mean there's problems with media in terms of like how it's dispersed digitally, or like, what do you mean?
Yeah, how it's dispersed digitally. Like through Valley Girl, I started on YouTube in the early days of YouTube. People were just figuring it out. And mm-hmm. I always think, I wonder what would have happened if I just stuck to YouTube. And maybe that's what I should have done, because I kind of came up with those early YouTubers. Mm-hmm. But instead what I did was I did 35 different digital distribution deals, all digitally distributed all over the place. So everywhere from those TVs you see in elevators and airports to Mashable, Forbes, we did quite a few different deals. And then we got it to television. We were on CBS in San Francisco, and they wanted to launch in LA and Phoenix. And there's just not enough money in, especially when it comes to syndication, to produce a show like that. I said, look, if you want me to launch other cities, you really need to be bringing me money a lot faster. And while our ratings were through the roof, we were like the best rated show on that network. They said, oh, we might have to cut your season short because we aren't able to bring in sponsors fast enough for lack of manpower. And so it's like too expensive to produce content and then get it paid for. And then because it's become like, that's for the local television in syndication. And if you look at Ellen DeGeneres or Wendy Williams, those shows that are actually not national, they're in like 7 to 12 cities. And so they cover a large span, but it's not like, it's very rare that you just can greenlight a country. So you have to do one at a time. So I was writing, booking, producing, being on the show. It's like what you're doing. And then I started trying to bring in sponsors. And then when they told me we had to launch other cities as well, I'm like, whoa, I'm already staying up 24/7 to oversee editing and get these to CBS on time. It's not humanly possible for me also to find sponsors for these other cities. And so there's different pockets of media, but I think digital media still needs to be figured out too, because now people are looking to influencers mm-hmm. and celebrities to promote their products. And that's cheaper than traditional marketing campaigns. That's and so true. There's something, it's, you know, it's being fixed slowly, but I think I'm curious to see what all sorts of media looks like in the future. Are we only going to be watching Netflix? Are we going to only be listening to podcasts?
So you think if you had stayed with YouTube then, and you definitely would have had more control over everything, and it could have been dispersed to millions of viewers on YouTube, and you would have had ultimate control and not had to worry necessarily about getting into different affiliates and different markets and that sort of thing. Is that what you mean? So like, if you had just stuck with like YouTube?
Maybe, but like the rev shares, even on that, you have to have, I don't know what the numbers are now.
They're terrible. They're not great. I don't know how big YouTube stars do it. I really don't. Like, they have to just crank out videos every single day. And
I think you have a million subscribers to mm-hmm. make a significant amount of money.
That's true.
And it may not even be that significant. It also may be campaign based or what have you. And you really, but the cool thing is you get to be your own boss and your own entrepreneur. And I think that's a real positive, but I don't know if that would have been the right way to go. I don't know what it is, but there's a really big disconnect between old and new media when it comes to content. And now it's becoming cheaper and cheaper to produce, which is a real positive because the content creators can make more money. But then advertising dollars are going away, so the traditional media companies are going under. And so it's kind of an interesting, we're at an interesting time.
It really is. Like, I have been approached by a few people who want to turn Motherhood in Hollywood into a show, visual, not just podcast, but like basically like a video podcast, where it's still the same kind of interviews, the same, like, you know, fun, hilarious entertainment, if I do say so myself. No.
Yeah.
But it's, to be honest, like, it's a little overwhelming for me because I'm like, I don't know what the best direction is to go. Like, right now I have full creative control over my podcast. I decide who my guests are. I decide what brands I work with. I decide when I do my show and when I put it out. And if I want to take a couple weeks off, I do that. When you suddenly get in bed with someone else and partner with somebody else, you are giving up some of that control. And, you know, I feel like I need to do a little more research and a little more reading about that before I head down that path.
Yeah. And I think if you can figure out how someone else pays for production, I think that's the best case scenario. I always said if I was going to do the show again, I would do it like live streamed in a car or something. You don't have to worry about lighting anything.
Have you noticed, like, a lot of those videos that go viral, like, I have some friends who are like huge viral stars, and they literally almost all their videos are just them sitting in their car
talking
about whatever. Like, everyone's hating on the Elf on a Shelf right now, and I'm about to do a response video to that. Everyone calm down about the Elf on a Shelf. It works.
I don't have one of those yet. Should I do that?
Oh my gosh, it is so much fun. My daughter wakes up every morning and cannot wait to see where the elf is. She also knows the elf is watching her and reporting to Santa. So it's a good extra little disciplinary, you know, tool to have in my pocket. And like, I don't know why people hate on it so much, because it's like, it's not for the moms and dads. It's for the kids. Like, like, I'm sorry you're mad at this elf, but why did you buy it? You know, like, but yeah, no, I definitely, it's so funny. So many of those viral videos of these moms sitting in their car, just like going off about something. But I love that. I love hearing your insights about the state of media and, you know, where it all is, because there's just so much.
I know. There's go fix it and come back to me, and, you know, maybe we'll invest in your technology.
So tell me, how do you decide then, with all of these options available, all of these entrepreneurs and, you know, people with wonderfully creative ideas in entertainment and business and all of that, how do you decide who to work with and what companies to invest in?
So, you know, we get pitched daily, just tons of different types of companies. I make sure that they have a consumer element, meaning they touch the customer in some way. So you can buy a product or a service directly. I think that's important, especially having come from media. I do know that it's a tool to sell products through. And then, you know, I look for really three things. I look for the team is the most important to me, especially at the early stages, because sure, you have a business plan, but you probably don't have significant numbers. You probably don't have a ton to look at. You might have a product or a prototype, but you're usually raising money to get to the next phase. So I really care about the team. I love to see co-founders. We invest. There has to be at least one female on the team in order for us to invest. I do believe, like, it's about gender balance. So, you know, like, we have a board of one of our companies that I said, you know, maybe we should find a qualified male because we have four women on the board. And I think that's important. Yeah. And so it goes both ways. But we look for a team, and I hope that you're, you know, qualified to lead the team. And if you don't have the tech background, I hope that you have a partner who does and you have complementary skill sets. And then I also want the team to be people who, like, being an entrepreneur, I think, has been glorified in this really amazing light, especially recently, where you look at like Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg and these bajillionaires. And it is a brutal path. And you should look at it like this is going to be a 10-year road. You're going to have major ups and downs. And as an early investor, you're along for the ride with these people the whole way. So you want to know that they will not give up. They are going to make this company work no matter what. They are going to be open to changing direction if something's not working. And so I often like put these guys through different little tests that I come up with based on what I am concerned about. I'll be like, hey, maybe you should come talk on this panel. Hey, you should come to this event with me. And I like to see that they make the most of every opportunity. They have to be really passionate and insanely optimistic because you can't, as an entrepreneur, you can't understand or hear the word no. You need to be like, okay, well, there must be another option. And I think that's really important. So the team is first and foremost for me, and then a combination of the team, the product, and some kind of traction, whether that be, you know, I say like 1,000 customers or a following if you're a media company in some way, just so that I can see people are responding to something that you are producing. And as far as the product, I hope that it's disruptive. I hope it's unique. You know, we invested in a company called Flex, which is a menstrual disc. And I had seen, I'd seen about 6 tampon companies pop up that month. I'd taken about 6 different tampon company pitches. And so I said, okay, well, this is a multi-billion dollar market. I don't want to invest in a tampon company because there's too many. But we invested in this company, Flex, and this incredible founder, Lauren, because she was creating a new product, was disrupting this space that she was going to own. And tampon, we've seen before, you know, there's all major players there. And so she's created something new that can evolve, that they can own, that there's less competition there. So I think it's important to be disruptive. And if you are one of those lovely tampon companies, figure out why you're different and how you're disrupting the tampon space, because there's a lot of noise in that space. You always want to make sure that you're unique in some way. So those are kind of the 3 things I'd say: the team, the product, and traction.
I can't imagine how challenging it will be to go through so many pitches that you get every day, because it's like people are coming to you with their hopes and their dreams, and they have an idea and they think it's wonderful and amazing. And you have to, I'm sure, turn a lot of people away, which I'm sure is not an easy thing to do.
It's hard. You say no so much more than you say yes. But I also look at it, it's such a privilege to be an investor. I feel so lucky that I was able to raise this fund, and I get a bet on people's dreams, like you're saying, and their visions and their passions. And I think that to me is such a positive, and I really, really enjoy what I'm doing. And then also, if I do say no, I usually say, hey, I'm really upfront with them. Especially one of the problems with women getting funding is I think that because men control the majority of the capital, and this is a major issue, a lot of the male investors are afraid to hurt these women's feelings. And so they won't actually give them proper feedback. And so I'm always brutally honest, and they really appreciate that. They're like, okay, you're right, I did need to change this. And sometimes they come back. I always kind of keep it open and say, you're a little too early right now. This, this, and this are the problem. You know, keep me posted on your progress. Let me know how it's going. And sometimes those become partnerships for my companies, or I look at in any business, I think networking is a very, very important thing. So I never want to burn a bridge.
And I want to talk about really quickly, just mention a couple of the companies that you've worked with. Eloquy, which is a brand that I love.
Oh, good.
I love them so much. And I'm like, you guys, I want to work with you. The Flex company you mentioned, Hop Skip Drive. You also invest in Beautycon.
Yes.
Amazing. Yes. Lauren Wolf, Interior Design, Vita, Seedling, which we love. I literally have like a couple of Seedling kits in my office right now. So we are huge fans.
They're especially good for like a rainy day if you need an activity for your kids.
Or a day when their LA is on fire and you can't go outside because the air quality is so terrible. I hope you're not anywhere near the fires. Are you, by the way?
I am. I'm actually in Brentwood, and I'm a little, right now we're safe, but we're 4 miles from the fire. So it is, my car is actually packed.
Oh my goodness.
Because we were told that Mandeville Canyon was evacuating, and I'm like, okay, that's like a mile away. Close.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, I'm hoping that they can get a handle on it, because it's so out of control right now. It's just really scary. I would love to know too, like, how are you balancing all of this? And people say, use the word balance like it's a bad word, but I love it. I embrace it. I have to have a balance or I lose my mind. You have a 2-year-old and you're 7 months pregnant, and you have all of these businesses, all of these things coming at you and output, things that you're putting out into the world. I would love to know how you're managing it all. If you are, if you feel like you are.
I think it is, it's all about balancing to the best of your ability. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you obviously are doing an incredible job too. It's a lot. There's days, it's a lot.
It is a lot. I mean,
people don't talk about how difficult it is enough. I think, you know, women feel like they can't share how tough it is. And I also, I mean, you probably interview quite a few women, but I encourage you, when you do interview a nice man, to ask this same question, because I think that's a problem.
Mm-hmm. I do. No, I absolutely do.
Because mm-hmm. it's a lot to balance. I think there's a lot of issues with, our childcare system and education system in general, which could make our lives significantly easier, but it's like preschool costs like $1 billion. And then you still have to have childcare because it's only 3 hours a day, which was mind blowing to me. I was like, wait, what? I can't just leave my kid here. I don't understand that. But I think as far as how I'm balancing it, I am lucky enough to be able to afford incredible childcare. I have an incredible assistant analyst who works day to day with me, who I've been really getting up to speed since I'm about to have another child. And, I've staffed up. So it's not, I mean, I'm not doing it alone, definitely. And then also, I've made a deal with my assistant that is, my schedule is fluid and we can reprioritize every week, every day, every quarter, and every month. And we need to really decide what are the major priorities for work, because in order to get anything done, like, you could say yes to everything and you can just fill your time. And I think that as a mom, you can't do that. You really have to be able to say no and say, you know, this is not a priority right now. And so there's days that I'll just cancel, you know, 3 meetings and because I have to get an investor update out, or, mm-hmm. You know, I always think phone calls, you can always reschedule because it's a phone call and, you know, it's not like you were like driving across town, at least in LA, it takes like an hour to get there. So I always feel canceling day of. I think that your schedule is malleable, and I think that's important to remember. You don't have to get stuck into that grind, and you just need to figure out what your priorities are and not be too nice about it. Like, you can't. Yeah. So I'm just always ruthlessly prioritizing. I think that's sort of my secret, but it's, you know, it's working sometimes.
And I think that's good to hear though, because there's a lot of moms, we're so hard on ourselves. Because there's the perception, or maybe it's a self-imposed perception, that we have to be able to do it all and do it all without any help. And it's like, yes. I always tell, you know, my mom friends, like, if you can get help. Like, if you can afford to do like a nanny share 1 day a week, which is what I did with a girlfriend of mine. 1 day a week for 3 or 4 hours when Channing was little, that's my daughter Channing. It made such a huge difference, because we could step away for a minute and be like in the real world and go, oh yeah, I can return a phone call. I can like go have a massage, like, you know,
feel
whatever.
Feel human.
Yeah. Feel human. So I love that you say that about, getting help, like having some help around you is so important. If people need to do that, even just for a little bit, have a friend watch your kids while you do something for yourself, and prioritizing. For me, I have made it a priority over the last several months to start saying no more, because you get so many requests, and I feel bad, especially when people are, my friends are like, hey, can you just do this, or can you just help me out with this, or can you just post about this? And I have to start saying no, because then I would literally be spending all my time on social media reposting, resharing, you know, going to events, going here and there. And so I can't do it, or I'd never see my kid, which is the whole point of motherhood in Hollywood, is to like talk about spending time with my kid and all that stuff. So I love that you say that. That's why I asked that question, for, you know, just so you know. And I do ask the men that too.
Yeah. Cause I always speak on these panels. I think it's also that, like, I'll speak on these panels at financial conferences and it'll be me and four guys. And then
they don't ever ask the men that, huh?
No, they go, Jesse, so how do you balance it all? And I'm like, well, these guys have kids too.
Good for you. Yeah, they do. I mean, that's so ridiculous. And it's the same thing with like red carpet, celebrities on the red carpet. Like, I know the women get asked that all the time. Like, how do you balance your family? And which I understand the curiosity to know it, just because it's celebrities and it's like, ooh, how do you do it all kind of a thing. But ask the guys too. Like, there's some onus on them for sure.
Oh, totally. And my husband is just incredibly supportive. Like, I couldn't do this without him. And that is really helpful in my life. And he's so funny. I feel like I've turned him into this like major feminist. But over Thanksgiving, you know, I sat at the kids' table, because although I'm 33, I still sit at the kids' table apparently. And my mom placed me next to my son, and then put my husband at the adult table, which is fine.
Mom. My husband,
so cute. I know, she's going to listen to this and be like, you will never have to sit there again. But my husband was so cute. And he said, why did she think you had to take care of him? Like, I could have taken care of him. And I feel like this, you know, I would have been happy to spend Thanksgiving with my son. And I just thought that was the sweetest thing. He's like, do you think it's just because you're a woman? I'm like, no, this is my mom. I'm sure she wasn't thinking too hard about it.
I know. Well, part of it too might just be like a generational thing. Like, you know, my mom assumes I do all of the caretaking, and she's wrong. We both do it very equally. If not, my husband might do a little more than me, but yeah, I mean, I think it might just be a generational thing too.
Yeah.
I would love to know, for any moms who are listening, who are entrepreneurs, who have some business ideas, maybe it's just they've been thinking about this invention that they have, or this, you know, something they want to do. Like, how would you advise them to get started in something like that? Like, do they make a plan? Do they, you know, buy their website, buy the domain? Like, what do you think are some initial first steps they can do to get started?
I think just take that first step. I think especially as women, we feel men throw pain against a wall and have this like confidence they've had ever since they were a little kid. And for us, it's more of a learned behavior. Although we're born with confidence, we sort of lose it at a certain point when we're young and have to regain it. And so I think just don't feel like anything has to be perfect. Be confident in your idea and just take that first step. Don't feel like you have to have all of your ducks in a row, because I can tell you there are so many guys who went out in Silicon Valley and raised $20 million with a PowerPoint and a picture of an idea and no actual traction or anything. And you will probably be more prepared than that. And so I think just start, whether that be, you know, if you're starting some sort of clothing line, start making some designs, go meet with everyone you possibly can in that industry to learn as much as you can. Where do they manufacture? Ask a million questions. And then also realize, I think a lot of entrepreneurs in general, especially women, it's interesting because I'm learning so much about just the differences between men and women pitching their companies. They don't realize they can raise capital. They don't realize they can raise money. So if you have money to invest in your own business, great. Set aside a little money, figure out, you know, map out how much you're going to need to get to a certain point and invest in yourself. I think that's the best investment you could make. But you can go raise money. There are people who do this. That's what we do. If your company is a little farther along, and we invest very, very early, but feel free to go to halogenvc.com. We have a whole form you can fill out. I'm also very, very easy to get a hold of on the internet if you have a pitch. And, you know, I do take cold pitches. I'd I'd also encourage you to, once you kind of figure out, map out your idea, put together a nice little business plan, I encourage you to get out there and do pitch competitions. That's a great way to get in front of investors. You can go, you know, usually you get like 2 to 5 minutes to present your idea, and then investors will ask some questions, and you could win a pitch competition and win some money, or even just connect with other investors. And it's a great way to get in front of other entrepreneurs and investors and build that ecosystem. So those were a couple things you can do, but I'd say just start.
Just jump in, just commit to it. And like,
yeah.
Getting started is probably, I imagine, just the hardest step, because we have such doubt and, you know, there's so many questions. And that's what I ultimately did with Motherhood in Hollywood. I was like, I'm just going to do it. And if people listen, great. And if not, that's okay. I'm just going to do it. So
awesome. Did it. And people are listening.
They are. And I'm also having just the best time. And that's ultimately what was important to me, too. I just still wanted to enjoy it and enjoy meeting people and talking to other moms in my industry, and hopefully inspiring other moms and parents, really, moms and dads who are in this industry as well. So I'm so grateful to you for taking the time out of your busy schedule in the line of fire that you're in. You're not like evacuating.
I'm like, and then in an hour, I'm going to be like,
oh my gosh.
From the fire. No, I'm kidding.
Well, then we timed this perfectly.
But my heart goes out to everyone who's being affected by the fires. I mean, this is really scary. And I think I hope that we can contain it. But Eric Garcetti just put out a message on ABC News that was terrifying. And I'm like, okay. He's it's 150 acres and it is not contained. I'm like, okay, good.
Oh my gosh. All I can think of is all those homes in that area. And there's so many people there. Just so scary. Well, I am going to let you go so you can deal with what you need to deal with your family. And like I said, I'm so grateful and I'm so inspired by everything you've said. I'm going to put up information about Halogen Ventures and more information about Jesse up on motherhoodinhollywood.com. Jesse, thank you so much for being on my show.
Thank you, Heather. This was a blast. So thank you so much.
All right, everyone. I hope you have a wonderful week. And remember, I'm not a perfect mom, but I can play one on TV. Bye.
Mama funny.
Balls.